Yeah, I think the Lord serves as a real great example. In Luke 4, when he emerges into his public ministry, he gives a series of things that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to do. And if you go through that list, it's not about things as much as it is about people. And the real lasting impact that our lives ought to be is on the lives of people. So if I'm engaged in whatever it is, it's with the view that my life touches another life, and the goal is to connect that life to the source of life. And you know, relationships are so vital and so critical, and even the good works are always in connection with bringing people and men and women face to face with the truth. And I think if that's the way we, you know, the idea of being under a master and then realizing what is the master's interest is in people, then we will have a good handle on how this gets lived out and worked out.
Well, I did actually. Brother Burkhart went so fast through his point that I don't want us to miss it, because I think that's the key to this whole subject. It says in John 1:18 that the Lord Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. It doesn't say he was, he is. While he was here, he was in the bosom of the Father at the same time while he was here. The fellowship, and there's a difference in Scripture between the bosom and the breast. The breast speaks of nourishment in Scripture. The bosom speaks of affection. And the affection of the Lord Jesus, the relationship, was always fresh. It was always there. It was always on, if I could use that expression. And that's the key, I think, for us, if we want to be in this world and not of it, is that relationship with the Father. And that's why the Lord Jesus came, to reveal the Father to us, to bring us into this fellowship with the Father. And 1 John talks about that and gives us all of all the resources we need to enjoy this fellowship with the Father. But if that's right, then everything else is going to be right too. Doesn't mean we won't struggle, right, but everything else will be right.
I have a verse in Colossians, a couple of verses in Colossians that kind of paint the entire picture that we've been studying in the young people's Bible study. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge, in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, and with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And I just feel like this verse kind of gives a good sum of what we, as Christians, the goal of our lives walking on this earth, being a stranger to the world.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you. I'd like to add to that in Ephesians chapter 2, just in closing. A little bit farther on in the chapter from where Tim was bringing us earlier. So we've been talking this whole afternoon about the fact that God says we are strangers in this world, and so we live characteristic to that name, to that identity. Mm-hmm. But there's another way in which we used to be strangers and we aren't. And I just like to use that as a closing thought. Ephesians chapter 2 says verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And then in verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the households of God. And although this is a completely different thought from what we're considering as our strangers as it's used in 1 Peter, I think it's a very helpful companion thought, because what it means is the only people who think like us are other believers. Because we were strangers from God, but now we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And so God has taken us out of being strangers from Him and brought us to Himself through the work of Christ. And we're strangers in the world, strangers in a different way. But where do we go to find some sense of belonging? We stick together with fellow believers. And Mark ended the time yesterday with a related thought. The fact that the world likes to divide on all kinds of lines and types of identification, but God has united us. And brothers and sisters, we must actively cultivate the mindset that you and I, we're fellow citizens. We come from the same country. You travel in another country and you find somebody else who's from your country, suddenly you're best friends. You never met them before, but you've got some shared identity. And this is the way it is. We are fellow citizens. We don't need a secret handshake or something like that to identify one another, but we are fellow citizens, the same mindset. The same mindset, the same lifestyle. So let's encourage one another. Let's appreciate one another. There are Christians that we know that we just don't appreciate because they're not like us or because we're not like them. But we've got to work actively, ask the Lord's help actively and purposefully, intentionally overcome those things that are promoted in our minds. Be different from that person for whatever reason, for physical ability, for intelligence. I had another story, but I won't tell it. It's too long. But just to pause our minds on this thought in conclusion, we're fellow citizens. We're strangers out there. But when we're together with fellow believers meeting, we look for the rest to come.